Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Boy, oh boy, I have got to take my hat off to my good buddy, Meet Kevin. I just saw one of his videos last night where he outlined and went through the details of his own personal portfolio, which now is at $52 million. $52 million. And the kid is 29 years old. And if you don't know his story, what, maybe not even 10 years ago, I think maybe 8 or 9 years ago, he was working at Jamba Juice. And then he got into real estate. And then he bought a couple small rental properties. And then maybe in 2018 or so, he started doing YouTube videos just to get leads for his real estate business. He got his real estate license. And, you know, his YouTube channel blew up to the point where now he's probably making $5 or $6 million a year off his YouTube channel. And he's obviously in an extremely high tax state, California, but he's continued to buy real estate in Southern California. And then additionally, with his, he doesn't spend a lot of money. He's taken and built this stock portfolio. And so I want to kind of go over the video quickly here and then go over some takeaways that will hopefully help you make better investment decisions moving forward based on not so much what is right or wrong, but based on your portfolio or based on your personality and what your objectives are. I think that's crucial. So let's go over this here. The first thing that you guys need to notice here is Kevin now has green hair. He kind of goes back and forth between this fluorescent green and red. And this is genius. Absolute pure marketing genius. And I know a lot of you are watching a few of my videos lately where I've been trying to encourage people to create their own content, whether that's a podcast, blog, YouTube channel, et cetera, because I'm trying to encourage 1,000 people to get out there and create content around the message of freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. So we had Doomberg on yesterday as an example to talk about how he has grown his Substack page, and he went over some tips. And I can tell you, this, what Kevin has done here with his hair may seem ridiculous and cartoonish, but it's absolute genius. Why? Because his thumbnails are going to show up. And not only does he have all his purple in the background, but his thumbnail, you can see here on the right, is so colorful that when you put that thumbnail up against other thumbnails on your homepage, if you're on YouTube, or in your suggestion feed, that's going to catch your eye. That's going to pull your attention away from whatever else you were looking at. And that's the objective number one, of a good thumbnail. So he basically started creating fantastic thumbnails and giving himself this huge edge by dyeing his hair day glow green or red or whatever. So that's really my first takeaway in watching this video. So let me go ahead and get the speed up to 2x here so we can just kind of quickly go through this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Okay, so we go here to, see, that's another thing with Kevin. The kid's got so many damn commercials. That's how he makes $6 million a year. It's really easy. All you have to do is get about 30 million views a month and have 4 or 5 commercials in every single one of your videos. Kevin, if you're watching this, I'm just giving you a hard time, buddy. Okay, there we go. So basically, he goes through this spreadsheet he has of his entire portfolio. And this $52 million, that's not clickbait. And I knew it wasn't because I know Kevin well. And he wouldn't say that even in a title that he's got a $52 million portfolio if it wasn't true. Now, a lot of this, I think 20 or 22 million of it is real estate. And he most likely has leverage on that real estate, got mortgages. So I don't know what his equity is there. We know real estate has just skyrocketed along with pretty much everything else Kevin owns. in the past year and a half. So how much of that is equity, I don't know. But we can just say the nominal value of his portfolio right around, let's call it $50 million. And he owns a ton of Apple. He owns, basically, just to kind of give you the quick Reader's Digest version of what he owns, it's pretty much everything you would expect a 29-year-old to own. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way whatsoever. Because Kevin is, like I said earlier, the kid's a genius. Absolute 100%. Now, does he have the same maybe worldview and investment strategy as a Jim Rogers? No, it's the complete opposite of that. But that doesn't mean that Kevin hasn't just absolutely crushed it over the last year and a half. So what he's bought is pretty much all the tech stocks that you would assume, you know, Google, Facebook. I'm just looking at this here, just right on the screen. And he's also bought all of the meme stocks. So that would be GameStop. That would be AMC, whatever else is in there. And in addition to that, he's bought a lot of cryptocurrency. So you've got Bitcoin, you've got Solana, Cardano. I'm not sure what else he owns. I watched a couple of his videos. I didn't see it on this one, where he owns Dogecoin. I wouldn't be surprised if he owns Shiba Inu. He owns $15, $20 million worth of a Tesla. So you look at basically tech, Tesla, memes, stocks, real estate in Southern California, and cryptocurrencies. And you can quickly see why his portfolio probably started off a year and a half ago around, maybe 10. I don't know if he goes into that in this video, which is fantastic in and of itself. I don't want to take anything away from that, but you can see how owning those assets over the last year and a half, your portfolio would have gone from whatever 10, 15 up to 52 million. So that's pretty much the Reader's Digest version of his portfolio, the quick summary. Now, let me go into why I would never do that. Or why I would never invest in what Kevin has chosen to invest in. And again, I want to be clear. It doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. And this is kind of one of the main takeaways I hope you get from this video. It's that you have to invest around your personality. And I am a contrarian at heart. And I know a lot of people say that, but you guys know that from watching my videos. You know that I'm pretty much anti-establishment. I am anti-authoritarian. I'm if everyone's on one side of the boat, I do not feel comfortable. I've got to get on the other side. I have no problem buying panic and selling hysteria. In fact, you guys know that I've been selling my real estate because once I see everyone get excited about it, that makes me very concerned and I get very uncomfortable. If everyone is doing the same thing I'm doing, I'm not happy at all. I'm losing sleep. I'm most comfortable when I'm doing something that is the complete opposite of everyone else. That's just my personality. It's just how I'm hardwired, right? So for me to have a portfolio that is quite literally what 99% of retail investors at that age have, that would make me, again, that would make me very uncomfortable. I would lose sleep. So what I prefer to do is go in and when we have market crashes or when we have mass panic in the market, like March of 2020, that's when I like to buy. But I don't like to buy this. Again, not right or wrong. It's just, this is not my style. I've come to this conclusion, and I think this is one of the reasons why I've done well with my investment portfolio, because I've matched it up with my personality, and I think that's the main takeaway here. Now, have I done as well as Kevin? Not even close. Not even close. In March of 2020, I was buying oil producers, I was buying uranium, I was buying gold miners, I was buying stuff that actually, I would argue, has value in the real economy and most likely will have value for years and years and years to come because it's had value in many decades and in years past. Also, those are companies who actually make money. And I would not be comfortable buying a company that was not making money. And so what it really boils down to is I like to buy a dollar for 50 cents. You see, what Kevin likes to do, and again, this is not right or wrong. This is the way his personality works, is what he feels most comfortable doing is buying a dollar for $3 and assuming that it's going to go to $5. Now, in Kevin's case, what he's done is he's bought a dollar for $3 and that dollar has gone to $50. So more power to him. But it's a mentality of an angel investor. And that was never my style. I was never into angel investing, which it means you basically go to a bunch of companies that aren't producing revenue, but have an incredible amount of potential. And you invest in just, let's say, 1,000 of them or 100 of them, because you know that 5 of them are going to hit and the ones that hit are going to be just through the roof. And you're going to have some that fail. And, you know, it's kind of a numbers game at that point, assuming you're doing your homework correctly. I don't like that. And I never did. Not even as an entrepreneur did I have any desire whatsoever to get involved with angel investing. Now, I had my own startups. But as far as from an investing standpoint, that was never attractive to me at all. What I would like to do, and this is kind of, you know, when I retired, is I preferred to invest in companies like Coca-Cola, like Exxon, like, you know, a company where they're making money and you can see a historical track record. And you can tell if this is cheap or not based on its current, not only revenue, but current profitability. And then what I like to do is wait for panic in the market, like we saw in, let's say, 2008, especially with Coca-Cola. I mean, if you look at what happened to Coca-Cola back in 2008, it absolutely tanked along with everything else to the point where it was paying like, right off the top of my head, I think maybe a 6 or 7% dividend yield. So you could have bought Coke at a 6% dividend. I mean, if you would have done that, that would have been a fantastic investment because they've continued to increase the dividend since then. And that's kind of that history that I was talking about. Buying Coca-Cola at 50 cents for a dollar, that is probably the furthest thing from angel investing or investing in a company like Tesla that there could be. And so my main point here, just to reiterate one more time, is not that one way is right or another way is wrong. It's just that you have to determine what investment strategy fits your personality the most, because that's where you're going to find the most success. And then once you determine what fits your personality the most, you have to understand the mathematics behind what you're doing. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. Let Let me give an example. If you are an angel investor, if you're someone that's focused almost exclusively on where the price is going to go, if you're buying a dollar for $3, hoping that it goes to $5, let's say, if that's what you're doing, you've got to have more than two bets or else you have a negative edge. So you have to have the law of large numbers on your side. You have to have, let's say, 100 bets, right? Where if someone maybe like myself, who would prefer to just wait and do nothing for years on end, and then just wait for Coca-Cola to be trading at, you know, a steep discount because of the panic in the market, well, that's not going to require the same amount of transactions. I'm not going to have to own 100 different stocks or 100 different companies with that strategy. But you're not going to be able to buy them, and you're not going to have all these consistent gains, and you're going to have gains where you're going to have years where nothing happens and you don't do anything. And then you have a year where it goes nuts. Now, if you're buying that cash flowing dividend stock and you're just reinvesting those dividends, then it's just the race between the turtle and the hare. And it's just slow and smooth, slow and smooth, slow and smooth, as opposed to, you know, the hare sprints off and then you have a crash and then it's going to lose a lot and then sprints off again. So you can see how this needs to be adjusted to one's personality. So for me, I, you know, my portfolio maybe since 2020 has maybe doubled, something like that. I mean, not even remotely close to what Kevin has done, but that's fine for me. I mean, I can sleep well at night knowing that, and knowing that I actually own stuff that and companies that are actually making profit, and stuff that is used in the real economy. One of my hesitations with certain stocks or cryptocurrency is I go back to my very basic economy that I use in my whiteboard videos, where you just have a farmer that grows cows, cotton, and corn. Okay, so how does, I've just watched this very professional presentation on my computer on Solana, which is a cryptocurrency that has gone from, I believe, 4 cents to over $220 since 2018. And it is, I mean, this presentation is very futuristic, and it's got some guy on there with a really cool English accent. And you can tell that he's most likely wearing all black as he's doing this voiceover. But I ask myself, how would Solana help my three farmers produce more stuff? How would it help farmer number one produce more cows, farmer number two produce more cotton, and farmer number three produce more corn? You see, and you could say, well, George, you don't get it. It's going to revolutionize the finance industry. It's going to decentralize everything. It's DeFi. It's the future. Okay, I get it. But now we're talking about the financial world. And so the only thing that I could see a benefit being to my farmers is if they were more, if capital were more readily available to them when they could use it productively. If there was some sort of, if there was something in the way, something preventing them from getting the capital they needed to buy the grain harvester or to buy the equipment that they need to increase their productivity. But is that really the problem we have in the world right now? That these people, that people in the real economy, there's just not enough debt. And if only we could, you know, have DeFi create more debt and streamline the financial system and create more derivatives and make those derivatives more transparent, then those farmers could produce more cows, corn, and cotton. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So what I like to do is I just like to buy stuff that helps those farmers or helps society produce more goods and services. Or in the in the digital world, produce a good or service. That's what I like to do. And then to take it to the next step, if they're producing a good or service that is increasing the standard of living in society at large, they're doing that well. They're doing that to the point where people are willing to give them, or people value their good or service more than they value the dollars in their pocket, and they're making a profit that is reflected by a fair PE multiple, and they're distributing that profit to their shareholders as they would owners of the company, well, now all of a sudden I'm interested, because that's something I get. I understand business. I understand producing real stuff. What I don't understand is angel investing with Dogecoin and Shiba Inu. But again, my philosophy is I don't care about price. You guys know that. And it's a completely different mindset. I don't care about price at all. Zero. When I'm selling my properties in Kansas City, which I'm in the process of doing, I just actually got a check for one that I sold a couple weeks ago. The question I'm answering in my head is not, are the prices of these properties going to go up or down? That never occurs to me. I don't even care about that question. The only question I'm asking is, are they expensive? Or do I have a better opportunity with the cash flow somewhere else? Or do I have enough dollar cash flow? Maybe I want cash flow denominated in a different currency to further diversify my portfolio. Those are the questions that I'm asking. The price direction is completely irrelevant. You see, where other people, their 100% of their analysis revolves around the direction of price, not whether or not something is cheap or expensive relative to the amount of cash that it is currently throwing off, i.e. profit. So that was really my takeaway. And I think for you guys, to help you invest better in the future, you've got to understand, you got to look yourself in the mirror. You've got to be honest with yourself about what your strengths and weaknesses are. You've got to be honest with yourself as to what your portfolio, or what your personality is like, and then what your objectives are. Is your objective to 10x your portfolio over the next 2 years? If so, my strategy is completely wrong for you. Completely wrong. If your objective is to just maintain your purchasing power for the next 2 years, because you think we live in a world that is wildly uncertain, then my strategy might be a good fit, that 10-80-10 portfolio that I always talk about. So make sure you understand yourself well, make sure you understand your objectives, and then you can determine which direction's right for you. Then make sure that that is based on math, and then having an edge with the number of transactions or number of assets that you're buying in your portfolio. So when you look at the totality, you look at the portfolio in its complete form, just like playing blackjack well, you have an edge long-term. All right, guys, make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, for liberty, for free market capitalism. We'll see you on the next video.